Just going to remind you again, at the risk of becoming a broken record, your name, the ward you live in, and the person you'd like to direct your question to.
Leslie Hicks, Ward 4.
If possible, I'd like to get an answer to this question from both Sean Michaud and Andrew Black, and I'll try to keep this very short. There were public discussions by council members at town council meetings recently about a personnel human resources issue regarding the qualifications of the two candidates for the new CAO position. At other times in the past, the town has denied access to information requested by members of the public and journalists, claiming that it was unable to do so due to confidentiality issues regarding personnel. I'm hoping that you can explain the inconsistencies in town council's use of the code of conduct and how the discussion about the CAO candidates was any different from the actions that Councillor Finney was sanctioned for, resulting in his loss of pay and medical benefits.
So we'll start with Andrew Black?
Sure.
Okay.
If you could, if it's all right, could you just simplify the question just a little bit? Maybe make it a little more specific as to what exactly you wanted to know.
How were the discussions about the qualifications for the CAO candidates made publicly at a town council meeting, where one of the candidates was basically denigrated by the members of council? How was that any different than the actions that Councillor Finney was sanctioned for?
Okay. The complaint process or the violation of code of conduct is complaint driven. Somebody has to make a complaint for the process to begin. If nobody makes the complaint, then it just falls. I would say that it is up to every member of council. We police ourselves. We're supposed to police ourselves within the code of conduct bylaw that we have. So if somebody says something, it's on all of us to if it seems like it's a bad thing for somebody to say, then we're supposed to police ourselves. That didn't happen, and that's unfortunate. But it is a complaint-driven process. If a complaint is made, then the process continues and follows through our procedure. So it's different. It's different because a complaint wasn't made in the case of the person you're speaking about, and it's different the other way because a complaint was filed.
So could a member of the public make a complaint about that then?
Yes. Yeah, I believe that a member of the public could make a complaint on that, yeah.
Okay. Sean Michaud, would you like to address that question?
Sure.
Okay.
So, first of all, thank you for the question. And the thing is, when it comes to matters when council, sometimes in the heat of the moment, things get said. And there is always the opportunity at that point in time for a councillor to indicate a point of order so that they can move into in-camera to discuss anything of HR matter, and this particular item was an HR matter. The complaint process is laid out within our code of conduct bylaw. Yes, citizens can make complaints, and I know that that's happened in the past, and I think that in tune that anybody who feels that there's been a violation of the code of conduct, that they should accordingly file a complaint if they feel so.
Okay, we are going to move to the other side of the gym. Sir, I'd like you to state your name, your ward, and we really can't do more than one candidate at a time, so whoever you want to talk to, please proceed.
No worries. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Scott Tempa. My questions are for Mr. Black, Mr. Michaud, and Mr. Esterbrooks, and Ward 4.
I am going to ask you to limit it to one because we may not have time to get to everybody, Scott, so one person.
No problem, Carol. Andrew Black.
Okay.
I've served 13 years in the Canadian Armed Forces. Some of you cry with me, some of you may leave, but I think it's worth hearing what I have to say. Today I'm going to take some time to talk to you about sacrifice and struggle. I joined the Army immediately after high school. I thought I'd be off seeing new lands and partaking in the glory of war. No one told me I'd spend months on end inhaling burning garbage, getting splashed with waves of raw sewage, or having to inhale toxin fumes inside of an aircraft or armored vehicles. Funny, I find myself recently turning 40. I never thought I'd be here to tell you all I'm dying from malnutrition. I hope you're all going to lend me your ear. I don't know what's wrong with me. That's the scary part.
Scott,
and
I'm
scared.
Scott, with all due respect, Scott, I'm going to ask you to ask the question.
You'll understand this is a symptom of a much bigger problem, and you'll hear what I have to say. If you respect veterans, the fact that I'm standing in front of you should indicate there's a bigger problem. And I'm sorry, Carol. This is nothing against you. Last week was Veterans Week, and I was dismissed by several leaders in our community who thought it was a good idea to pander their election platforms during what was supposed to be a chance for me and my disabled veteran comrades to tell our stories, to hear our voices.
Scott, I'm going to just interrupt for a moment. No, help me out there, please. Help me out. This is... Okay. I'm going to just ask for help if I need it. But, sir, would you please come to the mic now?
I'm Fred Calder, and I'm from Ward 4. And we need open government. And my question is for Bonnie Swift, is to how are you going to accomplish open government?
Well, firstly, we have to have access to the press. And I know that there's been motions made that limit that access to the press. And I think the press should know everything that's going on in our local government. Also, we need to stop silencing whistleblowers, because if there's a problem in a fire department or somewhere else, we need to have that availability to speak to those issues. But what I'm really worried about most in this is just that I don't know how this amalgamation works if none of these people who are running don't get along already. I've seen councillors... pay and medical benefits canceled for basically having an opinion. And I don't think that's fair. And I've seen conflicts, people boycotting hiring processes, and people walking out of the amalgamation process. And then you come here and tell us that you're going to all work together to make this amalgamation happen. Well, how is that going to happen when you didn't want it in the first place? A lot of us are happy about this amalgamation because it will bring in some new representatives for this town and salt-of-the-earth representatives from the rural wards.
Okay, Bonnie, I'm going to just keep it moving now. Thank you. Can we go to the other side, please? Can I ask you to state your name, your ward, and the person you'd like to direct your question to? Thank you.
My name is Pat S. Brooks and Ward 3, and I'm going to direct my question to Greg because he's the only elected person here, and I want to make sure he answers it right.
We need a little levity. Thank you.
I would have preferred to ask the mayors to, or the folks running for mayor to answer this, but I will ask my question to Greg. How do you think that Tantramar can best have an effective voice in health governance?
Oh, my first question. I think that... we can have good health care. I hope I get this right for the first question. I think that we need to have health care workers that are willing to come to our town to live among us, to work with us. I spent 19 years working at the hospital here in Sacramento, and I've seen the good and the bad, and I just think that we need to support the workers that we have here now and any that we hope to recruit to come here to work among us. Is that close to anything you wanted to hear?
That's good news. That's good news. Okay. Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you. Before we go to another question from the audience, I'm just going to insert an email question because they have sort of let me know in advance as well. This question is for Alice Cotton. It's a heritage question. It's about from Jean Cameron of Ward 3. And Jean writes, it would be nice to know the perspective of candidates on saving and preserving Sackville's heritage. And she does refer to the Mel's Tea Room sign, but she says more specifically, what can we do for Sackville and the larger entity of Tantramar Heritage?
Well, that's a very good question. The heritage has had quite a struggle in Sackville. There's a notable church that was taken down. Many people were upset by that. A heritage committee was dissolved over it, and it was never renewed. I think heritage is very important, and I think that it's part of what people are attached to. It's part of what defines our region, and it's something that we can hold on to and use to attract people here. It's very valuable. So I would be interested in starting perhaps another group of people interested in preserving our heritage. Yes.
Thank you for that, Alice. We have one gentleman going for his second question, but I would welcome women as well. Men and women, please come to the mic. And while someone is approaching the mic, I'm just going to fill in with one question. This was sent to me by Mark Truitt of Sackville. He's asking this question for the mayoral candidates. And let's see, if we can fit them in, we will, because I think I'm going to make the decision that it's a fairly important question. Mark Truitt writes, I think many of us in what until recently was known as Entity 40 feel to one degree or other that the reorganization of local governments in New Brunswick is something of a shotgun wedding imposed from above. All well and good, but now, as all these candidates have mentioned, we need to make it work. What I'd like to ask the mayoral candidates is exactly what you intend to do or propose that will help to build a Tantramar consciousness that transcends the current ones of Sackville, Dorchester, etc. Generalities and platitudes are nice, but what I'm hoping to hear are concrete, specific, actionable ideas that will enable us to start thinking for ourselves and of ourselves as citizens of Tantramar. I'm going to direct this first one to Sean Michaud, then Bonnie Swift, followed by Andrew Black.
That is the million-dollar question, is it not? I think the thing is that, yes, we've been put in a situation that we are not very happy with, but it's going to take communication and understanding and engagement in order to ensure that we are hearing and understanding each corner of this new community. One of the things I mentioned in my introduction was the fact of going back, something that was done back many, many years ago when I first sat on the Town of Sackville Council was advisory groups, advisory boards. That was something that I had, when I ran for mayor of Sackville, that was something I kind of was hoping to be able to see happen, but we got consumed by other things. First off, the importance of doing something about our hospital, and second off, with reform. So that would be one thing I think that is concrete in the fact of ensuring that we are engaging with every corner of the community, getting an understanding of what the priorities are, an understanding of what makes everybody tick, and figuring out how we move it forward to ensure that we are looking out for the best interest of all of us and maintaining the networking and care that exists beyond Sackville. So.
Thank you for that, Sean. And just for everybody's benefit, and for Bonnie's as well, here's the question again, because it was a little on the wordy side. Bonnie, exactly what do you intend to do or propose to do that will help build a Tantramar consciousness that transcends the towns and the communities we have? How to bring us together?
Well, as a woman who's worked in large business all her life, I've done a lot of mergers, actually, for big companies. And what I find is the key ingredient is having a sole purpose and a vision, one vision, and a mission statement. Because everybody has to agree with that, and they have to rally around that. Because if you don't all see the same page, you're all going to go in a different direction. So I think we have to concentrate on what this new town looks like, what is our vision for this new town, how do we incorporate the rural areas. We state that clearly, and we stick to it, because we can't be going all off on our own personal agendas. And that's why I think it's really, really important. If we're going to be successful, we have a plan, we stick to it, and we all agree that we're going to work through that plan and we're going to be dedicated to that plan, because I'm not sure what I see right now if everybody's on the same page.
Great. Bonnie, I'm going to intervene just because I'm watching the clock, so thank you, Bonnie. I'm going to pass it to Andrew. Andrew, what will you do to create a Tantramar consciousness that transcends our smaller areas?
I'll try to be super quick or talk really fast or both. I think that it's important to note that we now have counselors from all the wards who are going to be representing and be accountable to the people within those wards. They have a duty to come to council and share those views and with the rest of council and with the mayor. That's important to make sure that we all have an understanding of what people are about and what they need. But I think the transparency piece is important. So I think that that council should get rid of the limitations on question periods at the beginning and end of council meetings so that people can come and feel engaged in the process, be able to ask the questions they want to ask, get the answers that they want. And I also think that there should be access to more public information sessions, engagement, outreach, and communication so that the right message from council and the citizens of Tantramar can be heard and delivered every time.
Thank you, Andrew. We now have some more questions from the floor, so we're going to go back, starting this side, and then Emily will switch over to you. Again, madam, your name, your ward, the person you'd like to direct your question to.
Jan Hurdle, Ward 3, and primarily this is directed to the mayor candidates. I've had the feeling that too often the tail is wagging the dog, and that communication is lacking. Do you have a specific agenda, a specific plan as to how to ensure that all councillors have access to all information? I may be asking the individual councillors later. You also have a responsibility to make sure you have that information, but okay. Primarily...
Could I ask you to just sort of sum up that question one more time? And the order of answers will go Bonnie, Sean, Andrew. Just sum up your question, please.
Do you have a specific plan as to how you can ensure that all councillors have access to all information?
Thank you for that. Bonnie, quick and not as well.
Well, it's a big problem, and I've talked to a lot of the councillors, and some of them have said they don't get access to information, and it's really hard to make decisions. I mean, the Montana report is an example. There's councillors that have never seen it, and it's a report that has an evaluation on our fire department, and people want to know what those recommendations are. I think we have to start making these reports public because you're paying for them. You're paying thousands and thousands of dollars for these reports, and you're never seeing the final result. I don't think that's fair to the taxpayer. So we have to open this up. We have to open this government up and make sure they have access to every piece of information that is coming out of this town, because you know what? You're paying for that information.
Okay, we're going to move on to Sean to take that question.
The way we have to really consider the information and the sharing of information in regards to particular matters. HR matters are not public matters. Also, when it comes to how a municipality works, the responsibility is the CAO responds and reports to mayor and council, and the staff report to the CAO. The operations side of it fall underneath the CAO. Anything to do with HR matters within the municipality are the responsibility of the CAO.
Okay, and Andrew, will you take that question, please?
I'll honestly say that from myself being on council, I have always felt that I've had all the information. Talking to my colleagues, I don't think that any of them that I've ever spoken to have ever said that they felt that they didn't have all the information. As far as the Montana report goes, just as a clarification, every person who is on council currently, including the mayor, was given a report by the was able to not see the report but get a presentation on that report, and we saw every recommendation that was in it, both for the fire department and for the workplace assessment for the town. So we had a presentation so that we know what the recommendations are. We didn't have the report in our hands to read, but we did see all of those recommendations. We all have that information. We all know that information, just as a point of clarification.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to move to this side of the gym. And your name, your ward, the person you'd like to direct your question to.
Thank you. I'm Ellie Hummel, and I'm from the Green Ward, Ward 3. And my question is for Sahitya. I would like to know, you're the, as far as I can tell, the only newcomer to the area, and I would like to know what you would see as your gift to council as a newcomer.
Wow.
Looks like I can do two people's job myself. I'm a project manager by profession, and I worked really hard to come from being an international student to being here with my husband, choosing this community as my home. I have a lot invested in here. I'm going to live here for 5 decades at least, if our medical system supports it. And I think we should be part of those decisions. Housing is no longer a provincial or a federal problem. It's a municipal problem. We need to raise our voices now. And that's why I want to be here and be your voice. Thank you.
Thank you, Sahitya.
Okay. My name is John Hyam. I live in Ward 3. Several people spoke about multiple issues and involving a variety of people in a variety of ways. One thing I did not hear about, which I would like to ask, because we've had really great advice, direction from youth. I'd like to ask, and I have to ask one person, so I am actually did a little lotto thing, and it's for Alice Cotton. And this is, have you any ideas of how we can better engage youth, students, in the community governance? And what thoughts do you have about that?
Thank you very much for that question. Yes, I think that Mount Allison students and high school students could very well have representatives that sit in on our council meetings. I think that MASU would probably be very interested in working with us and providing people who would want to take part in meetings. I think we need to know what those large populations think. And I think that environmental questions and what is happening to the town in many respects, and the biggie, housing, is a big concern to students, and I think we need to hear their point of view on those things. How would we do it? Well, we would ask them, and we would help ask them how to go about getting people to suggest and find people who would want to be on the board with us. And they would communicate, you know, it would be like a back and forth between our board and their groups, and we would hear what they think. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Allison. That helps me remember what I was asked to announce. MASU at Mount Allison University is hosting another all-candidates event, except for the fact that it's not for all of you. It's for Ward 3 only and the mayor candidate, but I say that as an advertisement that I was asked to make. This Monday evening, 6 o'clock to 8 p.m. in room M14 of the Crabtree Building. I was also asked to just clarify something that I've had to learn because it gets confusing at times. Everybody, the mayor table, of course, one mayor. Then we move to Ward 1. There are two candidates there. There will be one person elected as that counselor. Moving over to Ward 2, you see there are four people that are, well, they're not all here, but there are four candidates, and one person will be elected to represent Ward 2. Because of population, etc., the 9 candidates there for Ward 3, we will be able to elect 4 candidates for Ward 3, and it's based on population, basically. Moving now to Ward 4, there are 2 candidates going for the 1 seat, and as Greg Martin has said, he is our first elected mayor. Not mayor. He's Ward 5, and he's acclaimed, and good for you. Not yet. Okay. I'm looking for people who have questions, and Pat, are you up? Because it's now, for, this gentleman has time for a second. Pat, do you have a second question?
Yes.
You can do it.
Okay, because healthcare takes in all of Tantramar, my first request was that we ask the folks who are running for mayor, and I would like to ask this question again to the mayor, to the candidates. How do you think that Tantramar can best have an effective vote in health governance. So that is directed to Andrew and Sean and Bonnie.
So, Pat, just to reiterate, you're saying how can the Tantramar Council, the mayor specifically, influence what happens to our health system in this area? Is that about it?
Well, that's about it, yes.
Okay, we're going to go in this order. I'm sorry, I'm going to lay this on you. We're going to go Sean, Andrew, Bonnie.
You never know who she's going to pick, but that's okay. You know, I think it's really important that a mayor is engaged full out in regards to the issues that are going to help sustain an area. And that is something that is very important, to have that connectivity with the with Horizon Health, because they are the folks on the ground, but also to encourage the involvement from the community and the broader community. We've seen that happen with the Rural Health Action Group. We've seen collaboration with Horizon, and that has come from the efforts of making those contacts and having those conversations that aren't always the easiest conversations to have, but to let these folks know that we have a role to play in healthcare, and we have something to offer. And I think that's been loud and clear through what we've heard from the Rural Health Action Group and from Horizon. And we need to keep the foot on the pedal here, the feet to the fire. And we can't give up on this. We've now created its own group that will hopefully sustain this. We've always been reactionary. This is proactive. And if we keep that solid, we get our entire region, because that's what's been involved, the regional mayors have been involved in this, we get this moving forward, continue to move it forward, and we will be successful in finding out what is best for Tantramar. Not necessarily what's best for Horizon or New Brunswick, but we can't cookie-cutter healthcare. We have to look at it on a rural basis, our own community basis, and this is how a mayor can play a role in ensuring that our voice is loud and clear to everyone that needs to hear where we sit and where our concerns lie.
Thank you. Bonnie, with the health question and how we can handle it, your turn.
Well, it's a big concern for me, and I really want to congratulate Pat Estabrooks and John Higham for the work that they have done to bring attention to this issue. But one of the things that I've been looking at is stats. And by 2028, we will lose 36,000 nurses in the profession. And yet we have thousands of foreign nurses that can't get through to practice because of the they're being sidelined by all these regulations. So how do we maintain healthcare if we don't have the people that can work in the industry? And that's a big concern for me. And also, I think that what we really need to do is work really close with the MLA, because a lot of this is regulated by the province, and we're not doing enough to make sure that the MLA and putting pressure on the MLA to make sure that this is working and working for this whole new district of Tantramar. And what I would like to see is us to have a plan to go forward to present to the province to find these solutions. And I think we need to do that as sooner as possible.
Thank you for that, Bonnie. We're going to now move to Andrew to take that same question. How does healthcare work, and how do we attack that problem at this level of municipality?
I had prepared this question. So we had the Rural Health Action Group come to Town Council and give an update to everybody our last council meeting. And one of the things they asked specifically was for us to continue to support it, to not let it go. So I'd written down as mayor, I would broadly support this group and work with them to help create a new structure that would allow them to get more work done on the healthcare issues we face in the town of Tantramar. I would help them create the terms of reference, board structure, and membership outreach that they need to see this through. I would work with town staff to make sure our own procedures fall in line with what the new Rural Health Action Group structure would be doing, and appoint a counselor to that new structure. I would look at public engagement sessions on healthcare topics so that information can be shared and new issues can be addressed quickly. I would make sure that I knew everything that the group was doing and continually have all the information so that I can rally when they need it, cheer on and inspire their successes with the public, and push hard and advocate for our community and our hospital through various levels of government with municipalities around the province and across the nation.
Thank you, Andrew. We are now back to another audience question from this side. Sir, your name, please, your ward, and your question, and who you'd like to ask it of.
Hi, my name is Richard Elliott. I'm a member of the Climate Change Action Committee, and I have a question for Andrew in particular, but if time permits, I would like the other two mayoral candidates to address this as well. We're in an, building on what we heard from John about the interests of youth and from you, Carol, about the need to involve priorities brought to us by MASU and the students at Mount Allison. Climate change is one of their top concerns. I'd like to know how you propose to continue to address climate change concerns, both mitigation of impacts already coming at us and adaptation to those impacts that we can no longer avoid, and take advantage of the fact that we now have expertise and interest from a much broader area, Dorchester to Pointe of Butte, to marshal and bring towards how we can address this really important concern for our coming generations in particular.
Okay, I'm going to make you be the guy who says what order of mayor candidate you want to hear from.
Okay, I'll take it. The order I'm looking at him here, starting with Andrew and going through to Sean and
Bonnie. Okay.
I prepared this one as well. I swear I didn't know the questions ahead of time. I won't get into all of it, I guess, but I guess it's important to note that everybody who lives in the town of Tantramar has issues around climate change, and it's affected. It affects people in different ways no matter where they live. Sackville has its own issues, Dorchester has its own issues, Midgick has its own issues, but it's all climate change related. And as Sabine had said before, climate change affects every aspect of concern that we have here. It could be housing, it could be economic development, population density. It affects everything. I had written down that I would urge the council continue to seek advice from the Climate Change Advisory Committee, which has been hugely successful, and make sure there's climate change accountability in operations and municipal decision-making. As mayor, I would seek out advice from the climate change coordinator, local nonprofits, and various levels of government to make sure the town of Tantramar's climate goals are not only reached but surpassed. And just touching on the youth aspect, I think that it would be important for us to have a youth council. We've talked about it for a number of years. It's never really amounted to anything. But I think that that would be an important piece, especially in the climate change realm.
Thanks, Andrew. Let's go for Sean.
Thank you, Richard. So we've come a long way when it comes to climate change in this community, a long way. And it's through folks like yourself and through the Climate Change Committee that is now officially part of the corporate structure of the town of Sackville. And I'd be looking to see that continue on. As I mentioned when I did my preamble, that climate change, we need to stay on top of this. We need to understand how we can affect, as a municipality, and make the efforts in order to do our part and show some stewardship and guidance to our residents in regards to what they can be doing. The next biggest threat for us here is the Chinecto Isthmus. And it's something that I've continued to work on with Mayor Cogan and Amherst, and it was something that John Hyam had started with Mayor Cogan previously. The study's been done. There's been three opportunities put forward, but yet nothing has happened. So Mayor Cogan has sent the letter off to make that a priority. We've getting commitments from the federal government through Dominic LeBlanc in regards to being a part of that, but we have to keep forging ahead. And it's not just what can we do about climate change, it's about mitigation as well. And those are things that we need to stay on top of. The flooding that happens on the 106 on either side, right, that's cutting off Dorchester.
Sean, I'm going to say thanks. I want Bonnie to have a lot of time because our time is ticking. Thank you, sir. Bonnie.
Well, I've been designing around climate change issues for over 25 years. When I worked in Calgary, it was much the same issues that you are having here. We're on a major floodplain. The Bow River goes right through the city of Calgary. And some of the problems I've seen there is what we're not designing our infrastructure for these greater storm events. We're still designing infrastructure for 100-year storm events when we're actually getting 500-year storm events and 1,000-year storm events. So what we need to start to do is design around greater storm events and to protect our infrastructure, because we're going to lose our infrastructure if we don't. And as far as flood mitigation goes, I've done some very big initiatives in Calgary where I used to design dry ponds where I would incorporate an asset into the community like a soccer field or a baseball diamond. And these would be sunken ponds that would have a function in the community that were attached to storm trunks. And what would happen is when there was a major flood, the dry pond would fill up. But when the flood receded, you had a baseball diamond and a soccer field again. So we're trying to design infrastructure and assets in a community that adapt to climate change. And I think that's really important because a lot of this, Richard, is going to be adaptation. And engineers have been adapting for climate change for a very long time.
I'm going to just intervene there, Bonnie. Thank you. Our time is ticking away, and we have three questions over there, and I hate to turn down a question. So I'm going to ask the audience. Audience, we need to have 19 minutes for closing remarks. If you give me thumbs up and a majority, we will take three more questions. What do you say? How many people say? I'm going to take that as a yes. So we're going to take, I'm sorry, sir, you've had two. We're going to go one, two, three on Emily's side of the gym. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Carol. My name's Jessica. I live in Ward 3, and I've been a community member involved with issues regarding the housing crisis in Sackville. And I have a question. I'll start with Bonnie through to Andrew. I would just like to know what initiatives you would take as mayor in regards to the housing crisis in Sackville. And I'm specifically interested in initiatives that contribute to the vitality of our community long term and just don't line the pockets of developers only.
Jessica, I'm going to ask this question to go Bonnie, Andrew, Sean, and I'm going to say they can have 1 minute each. Bonnie, here we go.
Well, I worked as the economic director for the town in 2010. Many of you might not know that. And the housing issue then was a big concern for me. So I was one of the people that actually went out and got a $1 million development grant from CMHC to put in an affordable housing project. And sadly, at that time, the developer pulled out at the last minute, and the town had lost that grant. But it's an issue. I'm tired of seeing people not having places to live. How can you work when you have no place to live? So there are a ton of grants out there for affordable housing initiatives, and they're still there. But what I haven't seen is anyone apply for any of these in the last 10 years. Why are we not working to get these grants? And the other concern I have is we want to vitalize our downtown. Well, if we want to vitalize our downtown, we're going to have to get rid of some of the contamination down there so we can actually build there. There's 57 contaminated sites in our downtown, and a lot of people don't know that. And those sites have to be remediated so that we can put infrastructure there for housing.
And Bonnie, that is your minute. I'm going to move on to Andrew to answer Jessica Grew's question.
Well, I had this one written down too. The amalgamation is an opportunity for the town of Tantramar, and we're going to have to review all bylaws, but to review our municipal plan and zoning bylaws and make significant changes to allow for more housing options within the community. And I would urge council to address that. As mayor, I would work with council and town staff to take firm steps towards investigating and potentially achieving a housing authority for the town of Tantramar, which I think would really help to solve a lot of problems. I would push for a full housing needs assessment in our new expanded boundaries so we have solid and accurate data to start with. And I would create a mayor's roundtable on housing to bring groups together to achieve sound goals for housing in Tantramar. We have a few groups that are working on it, and I think that they operate in silos. If we can bring all of those people together to talk about housing and be able to advise council going forward, that would be hugely, hugely beneficial.
Andrew, that was exactly 1 minute. Okay. Sean Michaud.
Okay, that was a challenge then, I guess, a minute, right? So, you know, we have to understand what our housing needs are here in our community and our new Tantramar. We have to know what it is we require, and I think that's a big part of it. And I know Andrew's already talked about the fact of understanding that. But I think we also need to take some immediate action. Something that I learned about here just within the last few weeks as I was kind of looking into housing is that Habitat for Humanity is actually starting to create housing that's not just for families, that they're actually doing condos. They've done a condo in Peterborough, I think it was. 41 families are now being housed in that. So they've found strategic partners within their community in order to do this. They're starting to look at that in Prince Edward Island as well. And I think that initiatives like this are ones that we can get behind, that a municipality can get behind and try to find the right spot, tried to find the land, and tried to find the right people to put it, and sweat equity goes a long way. So the whole community can get behind it.
Thank you, Sean. Okay, the next person, sir, if you'd identify yourself, tell us where you're from and who you'd like to direct your question to. I'm going to say I don't think we have time for mayor's question. I mean, let's go for one person if possible, sir.
My name's Dave Bailey. I live in Ward 3. I have a question for Greg Martin in Ward 5 and Debbie and Robert in Ward 1. It's Sackville has had problems with their fire department, within their fire department. Ward 1 and Ward 5 both have fire departments. Do you think there's going to be a problem with your fire departments meshing with Sackville? Thank you.
Okay. Those are important questions. So, Greg, will you take it? And then, Debbie, you'll take it after. Okay, Greg.
As far as the fire departments are concerned, they are definitely a concern of my ward, as many questions were raised at the beginning of this reform about what was going to happen to our fire department. The fire departments, to me, are very, very, very important. We need to have fire protection that makes us feel safe. And I look at my insurance on my house, and there's a line at the bottom of it says, where is the nearest fire hydrant to your house? Well, I think it's in Sackville. So, but I've had the fire department at my home for a flue fire. They managed it very well, very professional. I think we need to build on it. I use somebody mentioned this today earlier about fire departments to me, and I said, to me, I have a vision of a fire department looking like in Moncton, you have a big fire department, then in different parts of the city, you have fire departments that protect their citizens because they're close and handy. And I think this is going to be crucial. We need our fire departments. It's a must.
Thank you, Greg, from Ward 5. Greg Martin, we're now going to pass to the same question, Ward 1, Debbie Wiggins-Colwell.
Thank you, Dave, for that question. Fire departments are very, very important. And as far as I see in Dorchester, we have two federal entities there. We have the Dorchester Penitentiary, and we have Fort Folly. So as far as our fire department, I think we're very good of having it stay within our community, because those 3 seconds or however it takes fire from Sackville or Point of Butte to get to our area. So I foresee that we'll always have a fire department. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. And we have one more question from the floor. Am I right? You're going to answer as well. Okay, good.
Thank you for letting me have the opportunity, Carol.
I didn't know that you were being asked.
The way I see it, the three fire departments as they are now sort of need to remain. They will continue to work individually, but sort of reporting to whoever they need to report to. I think it's the CEO they'll probably be reporting to. The issues that were going on with the Sackville Fire Department, I can't really speak to because I'm not privy to that information. So that's something that as a council we would have to look at with a new CEO, with a new structure, and so we'll see how that works. They need, those fire departments need to be there, as so Debbie and Greg have alluded to. So if we cannot lose one, because the coverage areas that we have to cover is too vast. And so they will need to remain. So if there is a regional plan that's coming in 2025, which is being brought up by the province, we need to be partners in that to make sure what's happening and make sure how that affects us. But I don't see how realistically that those fire departments can be sort of removed. So maybe it's a restructuring of how they report, how they function, but the three fire holes as they are need to remain within Tanchamar. We need it for the coverage of the areas, because we cannot remove one because there's no way we can cover from the other two to be able to do it. We need those three, and so that we have to work to make sure that that happens, and then look at how the structure and that with the new provincial plan that is coming, how that benefits us and how we can work within that. And then sort of other issues, and as far as personnel goes, we need to deal with that as a separate issue, but the three to fire departments have to stay, and then we'll work on sort of individual things from there. Thank you.
That was Robert Corkerton from Ward 1, and my apologies, sir, for overlooking that. We've got another question over here. This will be the last question before we move into closing remarks from each of the candidates.
Thank you for obliging the last question. I'd like to come. My name is Kathy Crinion. I live in Ward 3, and I wanted to come full circle back to the land acknowledgement that you started with, Carol. We have a separate nation within our town, which is, I think, an amazing opportunity for us to learn from Fort Folly First Nation about their connection to Mother Earth, where we live, and all the implications of climate change and how they can help us with that. I was hoping that we could hear from both of the Ward 1 candidates, just your thoughts about living in the neighborhood with Fort Folly First Nation and what that partnership can look like moving forward. Thank you.
I think that we should make time for that for Ward 1, both of you. Yes.
Okay. You want to go? Thank you. Great question. We do work a lot with Fort Folly Chief Rebecca Knockwood. We have a close relationship with her, and she's very concerned what happens in our village as we are, as what happens up there. We share trails. They have the medicine trail. We've learned a lot through, you know, walking those trails. They have beautiful signage and tell us. So it's a slow process, but we're getting there. We're working together. We want to sit around. We want to talk and know what's going to happen and what's good for our community as theirs. We want to be one. We want to be inclusive with Fort Folly, most definitely. Thank you for the question.
So that was Debbie Wiggins-Colwell of Ward 1, and now we'll go to Robert Corkerton, also candidate for Ward 1.
Working with Fort Folly is a privilege. It's something that we as non-natives have to understand. They have their own time frame. And so if we have questions, if we try and implement, and so if we say we have to do it by the line, we should be realistic that sometimes we won't get those answers. But we need to have to take the time to be able to work with them, sit down, ask them what their opinions, or ask for them for their advice. So look to them, sort of, to bring us that information, and be ready to wait for that information, because it's not on our time frame. And so, as you say, so they look after Mother Earth, they have their own time frame, they work on their own schedule. We can't impose our schedule, so we have to be willing to sit down and talk to them, listen to them, but we will also be patient with them, because sometimes their answers take time to be received.